have any more clarity after watching the film as to why the offense was out of rhythm or out of sync, or however you want to characterize it?
It's a combination of a lot of things. You know, there were some times early in the game. I think we had four drops, what we would consider drops. Not all of them are easy, right in your hands catches, but a lot of them were early in that game. And you know, Matt made accurate throw, and we failed to make the catch. There were some times later on where we had guys open, and Matt did make an accurate throw. There were other times where we had guys open, and he couldn't find them because he had been rushed. You know, and didn't have time to be able to find them. So every one is going to be a combination of a lot of different things. You know, we didn't pass the ball very effectively, and we need to be able to do that to be able to win. The fact that we were able to overcome the turnovers, our defense again was able to keep us in, and it's a disappointing thing in this game that the way the game finished overshadowed what the defense did for about 57 minutes of that game. I thought our defense did a very good job of handling a high-powered offense, limiting a quarterback, limiting a run game. I mean, we didn't get a safety into the box very much at all. We held them 3.3 yards a carry. We played very well up front. We played very well on our linebackers. But it was overshadowed by the end of the game. I mean, we saved it until the very end to have our worst drive. And you know, give up a draw for a first down, give up a slide route to a tight end that gets loose down the field, and then give up a touchdown on a pass that, you know, if we wanted to be in a coverage for that route, that's the one we needed to be in, but we didn't make the play, and they did. And that's a disappointing way to finish, and I think that, you know, the way our front played, the way our linebackers played, can get overshadowed, and unfortunately does get overshadowed by the loss, but that's life in the NFL. That's what happens.
This was part of his profile coming out, this erratic behavior and sort of selfishness. Did you guys overlook that too much, or why is that still?
I mean, it was part of what he did in college, but that was early on in his college career. It was his sophomore year, and, you know, our indication was that he was able to have 2 years after that. And there's a lot of guys that have all kinds of incidents and all kinds of things that happen when you're 18 years old or 19 years old and away at college. I mean, I think that, you know, you got to count on guys putting that stuff behind them and maturing and things like that. That hasn't always happened in this case.
Jim, did you sit down with Titus face-to-face? And, I mean, how do you explain this? I mean, obviously it appears there's some maturity or
yeah, I don't
there. I mean, what was his reaction, and how tough is it to really say that to a guy that
well I never get into personal conversations or people's reactions or things like that, but it's his behavior that has to change. We did meet face to face, but I mean, it's pretty cut and dry.
Were there any caveats attached to the "if this happens and this happens, then we can reevaluate" kind of situation?
He needs to be a team player and needs to put the team before himself, and that's the main thing. I do have one other. This is all kinds of time for all kinds of stuff. hey, it's life. The injury report's going to come out. Our practice report, whatever you want to call it, the way it would have gone. Drayton Florence was diagnosed with a concussion this morning. He left the game early in the game. I believe it was the first play of the game. The official removed him from the game. Our guys checked him. He passed all the tests on the sideline. He returned to play, played pretty well. Didn't have any signs as we went forward. Didn't seek any treatments, wasn't having any symptoms after the game. This morning woke up with a headache, and you can't say mild or severe or anything else, but our guys diagnosed him this morning with a concussion. So he's listed today with a concussion.
What about Jeff and maybe Delmas coming back this week?
Delmas, we'll just wait and see. Backus wasn't able to finish with a hamstring, you know, and it's going to be we'll see how he does, but it's probably going to be doubtful that he'll be able to play on a short week like this.
All right.
What about Riley stepping in for him? And, you know, you talked a little bit about him yesterday, but going forward, how much more of an advantage is it for him to know he's starting?
I think there's definitely something to it, because Riley has been practicing different spots. I mean, each week on scout team, he's practicing a different spot to keep his ability to play right tackle, left tackle, guard. You know, every place but center, he's practiced. And then also the plays he's practiced on offense have been the plays that he's been running in the game. So it definitely gave him a chance to settle in at a left tackle spot and be able to get a week of a couple days of stuff like that. But you know, he just like any other player, he was inconsistent at times, but did some good things for us. And you know, we can all play a little bit better.
J.J. Watt usually runs on the opposite side of their line, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What have you seen from Broyles? He's had 9 targets in the last 3 games and caught all 9.
Yeah, he's going back to preseason whenever he's been given the opportunities, made plays, and with the situation with Titus, he's one of the guys that has the potential to be able to benefit from that, as will Mike Thomas, we just traded for recently, and even Brian Robisky.
Is there a place in football guys just a good steady ball player like Broyles who just catches the ball and just keeps advancing the chains, things like that?
Yeah, I don't know if I would I'd tag him with that. I mean, that sounds negative to tag him with that. I think he's the all-time leading receiver in college football history. I mean, that's not steady. That's not, you know, I mean, that's a high-quality play. He's still coming back from the ACL. I mean, I think we can get a little – you can lose that fact a little bit. I think he's right around a year right now. And typically players improve and look better. I mean, other than Adrian Peterson, it's usually the next year that you really start looking like yourself. And I think that the glass is still half full for Ryan Broyles. And that being said, he has been productive in his role. Now his role will increase.
But you guys obviously released Aaron Berry, you know, for his conduct. You disciplined Titus. Do you feel like this is the organization's saying certain actions and will not be acceptable?
We're not talking about off. We're talking about the team here. This is a different dynamic. This wasn't a legal matter or something off the field. So they're two different incidents.
Last question for Jim.
Best game.
I don't think there's any doubt it was his best game. It's probably the best game, complete game that he played. And even going back when we played New Orleans on that Sunday night, he played a quarter and had a sack, a couple tackles for a loss, I think 4 tackles, and it was only in 1 quarter of play, but he had to leave because he re-injured his foot in that game. In this game, he was able to play the whole way. And with Corey Williams, you know, being down these last couple games, I mean, Corey means a lot to our defense and has played at a really high level, and we needed somebody to step up. And, you know, Nick has done that, and he's maturing as a player. He's maturing as a person, and he's been a guy that the defense can count on being in the right spot. I mean, this was probably his most assignment sound game that he's ever played, and it showed in the stat sheet. It showed in the play. Like I said, our whole front played well. All right.